So as we enter into a time of prayer, I want to draw your attention to our prayer quilt today. So on your way out, it'll be on the table. If you can tie a knot and say a prayer and sign the card so that she knows that she is in our thoughts and prayers. So as always, I try to think about a little anecdote as I'm getting ready to come up with a prayer. And this Mother's Day, I'm not able to be with my mom. She lives up north, but not for a bad reason, because she's getting ready to take a trip and she needs all of her organization time to get ready to go on this trip. So me being up there would be a distraction. So she's about ready to roll with the senior group on a bus tour. But I was thinking of a little testimonial I can give to you. So out there in the crowd, in the pews, I see quite a few young families and moms of small children. So I want to give you a little light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. So my mom is an absolutely spectacular mom. And the reason I know that is because I was a child who was a bit of a problem. I was a little bit of a handful. I was a challenge, so to speak. I would temper tantrum. I would scream and throw myself on the floor. I was a door slammer. I was a yeller. I was not a nice young child. I was the kid that sent my mom to parenting classes. I sent my mom out the front door saying, "I'm never coming back," because she needed to walk down to the end of the driveway so she wouldn't say something inappropriate to me. But I say all of this because look at me now. It was all my mom's doing. She took all of that, and with the grace of God, and probably some other things, she was able to survive, and now she's able to live off the fruits of her labor, so to speak. So take heart that through those tough times of mothering, while your child has thrown themselves on the floor of Kroger and is screaming, and you don't know what to do, and you're hanging onto a box of cereal for dear life, this too shall pass. So today's prayer is mostly adapted from a pastoral prayer that Pastor Sherry gave me that was written by Reverend Marcia Woolley. So let's pray. Dear God, on this Mother's Day, we want to thank you for your presence and your gift of life to us, because each of us was born of a woman who labored to bring us into the world. We want to thank them for this gift as well. We wish to thank you for those mothers, regardless of the type of mother that they are or may have been. Each of them brought us life, and for that we are thankful. For some, that person gifted our lives with care, nurturing, guidance, and love, and we thank you. Some did not or were not able to provide a nurturing presence, so someone was able to step in and gift their lives, be it through an adoptive mother, a mothering father, or one who was like a mother. And we thank you for all who in some way do or have mothered us. There are also those mothers who are no longer with us in this earthly world. We thank you for the time they could be with us and ask you for help in using this day to provide us with fond memories and the knowledge that they are in your kingdom. We ask that you also use this day to help mothers find peace, those mothers who were less than they could have been, those mothers that are empty nesters and are seeing the fruits of their labor from afar, those mothers who have lost a child, those mothers on active duty in the parental trenches, mothers to be, as well as those with a mother's heart but are unable to be. All of them may be in need of a different type of peace, but you know, and we pray, will provide this. And with all this, we pray to remember and use those motherly skills that this day embodies that can be present in all of us. Those skills of caring, nurturing, reassurance, problem solving, confidence building, and just plain love. We celebrate them in your name. and let us spend a moment in silent prayer for our own personal wishes. And now let's join our voices in that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture lesson this morning is from 2 Timothy, and it is a letter from Paul. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sue. I want to tell you a little bit about the slides you're going to see as I give my sermon this morning. One is up there now. These came from a trip Sue and I took to New York. We went to visit my relatives. And one of the opportunities we had was to go to the New York Botanical Garden. I'll just admit to you all, it was not on my short list. It wasn't on my long list. I had no intention of making this part of our trip, but I was convinced to go when Sue told me I would. So I did. And as anybody remember early April? It was a bit chilly. So none of the flowers were in bloom outside. However, there was an orchid show. And I had no idea up until this point all of the different variety of orchids and the intricacies in them, and it was incredible to walk through, and I just started snapping pictures, knowing that at some point I would find a way to use them. And so it's my gift this morning for these lovely images to be before you to celebrate spring, which came and went, and so hopefully be back this week, and also to celebrate Mother's Day. And as Sue pointed out, in today's scripture, we hear the beginning of Paul's second letter to a young church leader by the name of Timothy. Now, it's a letter of support, encouragement, advice, and Paul talks about being reminded of Timothy's sincere faith and where it came from. Now, Timothy's sincere faith was built in him by two of the women in his life, his mother and his grandmother, by Eunice and Lois. Please pray with me. Holy Spirit, you are here. Fill our hearts. Light in us the fire of your love. May these words transform us and use us. Amen. My mom, this is a picture of her. She's holding my youngest granddaughter, Allie. So that would be her great-granddaughter. This is one of the last photographs I have of my mom. It's from Christmas 2009. She passed away in the summer of 2010. And I miss her every day. And looking back, I loved listening to Carol's story because I had a similar one with my mom. Frustration would be one word that my mom would describe me and raising me. And I didn't realize it at the time and what it meant in my life now, but my mom had a deep and abiding faith. She made sure we went to church every Sunday. We went to Sunday school. She made sure we went through confirmation class. We went to youth camp. She encouraged us to examine our faith and figure out who we were with Christ. Now, she would talk about being part of the Catholic Church growing up, although we were raised in the Episcopal Church. And found out after the fact of why this happened. You see, my mom was strong-willed, and she had a clear understanding of right and wrong. Now, we grew up Episcopal because back in the early 60s, in the Catholic Church, and I don't know if it's still true today, divorce wasn't viewed favorably. And so in order to stay part of the Catholic Church and be eligible to receive communion, the priest told my mom that the marriage would need to be annulled. Now, my mom tells a story that, you know, her question came up. She had three kids, and she said, well, what about them? And the priest said, oh, they'll be fine. My mom, and I use these words very carefully, with a righteous indignation, pointed out to that priest, I'm not going to ask to have this marriage annulled. The marriage happened, and clearly these kids happened. So we became Episcopal, and that's how I was raised. I was raised by a direct, outspoken, passionate, opinionated woman. Yes, heredity exists. And I loved her for it. She raised us in the faith, and looking back now, I see the impact it had on our lives. And in today's scripture, we get to hear about another family. We get to hear about Lois, whose name means desirable, about Eunice, whose name means victorious, and about Timothy, whose name means honoring God. We get to hear about their story, about their life, because like my brother and my sister and me, Timothy's mom and grandmother looked out for them. They came from the Jewish faith, and their beliefs did not waver. Lois and Eunice provided Timothy with a rich heritage. They taught him and brought him up with their Jewish traditions. They instilled in him the love and discipline that he needed. And they all of them decided to follow Christ. Now in the letter, Paul tells about seeing their sincere faith. He saw the spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Sincere faith. It's a gift from God. God who saves us. God who calls us into this holy calling. And it's not according to our works, but according to what God has planned for us. God's own purpose. God's own grace. Sincere faith in Jesus Christ, that's what Paul said he saw. And it was present in each generation of Timothy's family. Now, you have to remember, as we talk about Lois and Eunice, society and spiritual life back then in the temple was male-dominated. Yet Lois and Eunice did not let that stop them from guiding Timothy. And he became one of the leaders of the early church. You see, these women, they had a sincere faith. They followed Christ. Timothy's mother and grandmother loved him as God loved him, and they showed him the way. And this Mother's Day, I'm reminded that the Bible uses mothering analogies throughout when they describe how God loves us. And if you look in Luke 13:34 and Matthew 23:37, you will find these words, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and yet you were not willing. You see, God longs to gather us up to care for us as a mother cares for her young. And when we look at today and what a sincere faith might look like and how we can instill that in our children and those around us, what are we called to do? And thankfully, we're given guidance in that regard. Now, one of the things, and I will get to that guidance in just a little bit. One of the things you may be wondering about, because I don't mention it, is, well, what about Timothy's father? Where's he? Well, Acts 16:1, which I've listed up here on the screen along with other scriptures, tells us this. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived. whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. So there you go. Timothy's mother was Jewish, and his father was Greek. So it fell to Lois and Eunice to take on the responsibility of teaching Timothy about their faith. They were believers in the law, and they were believers in Christ. The first believers, a lot of them were Jews. There were non-Jews. So it came out of this rich heritage that they decided to follow a risen Savior, and they decided to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Because Lois and Eunice showed a dedication and a strength in raising Timothy in the faith and in becoming believers. And it was a good thing they did. Many of the first believers, they faced persecutions and challenges. In 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul tells Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He was reminding Timothy of something we all need to be reminded of, that is only through Christ's grace and that grace alone that we're able to spread the good news, that Timothy was able to spread the good news as a leader in the early church. And Paul, throughout his letter, had reminders and suggestions for Timothy, including this one in 2 Timothy 3:14 through 15. Paul tells him, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which you are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." Paul recognized that Timothy had been trained his entire life by his mother and his grandmother. They prepared him and continue to prepare him through his life to serve God, to have a strong faith, and to lead, which he did. And when we turn to Ephesians 6:2, we hear this, and it's quoting the Old Testament, "Honor your father and mother." Now, a lot of us think it ends there, right? It's not true. This is actually the first commandment in which there is a promise. And here's what the promise is. "Honor your father and your mother so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." The scriptures guide us. They tell us to honor our mother and our father, but I don't believe they're just talking about our biological parents. I think it includes those other moms and dads in our lives. Because I know that there are people here this morning who have been like a mom to me. And if you stop and take a moment and look around, you're going to find somebody who guided you, who walked with you, who cried with you, who showed you the way of Christ through their actions, through their love, through their hope. They have a sincere faith. And they've been an example for me and for you. Just like Eunice, mothers today have a spiritual impact on their children. Now, doesn't mean fathers don't. I want to point that out, because raising children in a sincere faith is an ongoing, lifelong process. I know it hasn't ended for me. And just like Lois and Eunice had an impact on Timothy, each of you can have an impact on those around you. You can help grow those leaders, just as Timothy was a leader in the early church. That can happen when you show others your sincere faith. Now, as I said earlier, you have to be strong, because this is not for the faint of heart. And if you look back at what Eunice and Lois dealt with in a male-dominated world of the early church, two women were guiding a future leader of the church. And Paul recognized and actually pointed out that he knew where Timothy's sincere faith came from. It came from his mother and his grandmother. And I will give you a little tidbit that you may not know, a fun fact. The word grandmother is mentioned exactly one time in Holy Scripture, and it's in the passage you heard read today. It talks about genealogy all the time, but grandmother only comes up at this point. So when somebody asks you if you can stump them, try this one. We'll see how it works. But Lois and Eunice, they were tough. They had to be tough women. They were living in tough times. And by the way, if you didn't know this, tough women still exist today, you know, other than Carol's mom. This is a picture, and some of you may recognize her. This is Gert Boyle. Everybody see what it says on her tattoo? All together now. Born to nag. She's the former CEO of Columbia Sportswear, and she did this tattoo thing back in the late 2000s when she was in an ad campaign for Columbia Sportswear. And now this woman was tough. Now, here's how tough she was. This is a bizarre story, but a couple of guys decided to try and kidnap Gert Boyle. So they showed up at her house with a gift basket. That's a nice thing, isn't it? And a book for her to sign. And she knew something was off as they met her outside and gave her this gift basket, asked her to sign the book, and pulled a gun on her. Got her into the house, and they had plans. Gert, she's tough. She thought quickly and said, you know, guys, if I don't turn off the alarm, it's, you know, I got to do that or else, you know, the cops are going to come. So she turned off the alarm. Yeah, she hit the panic button. Cops showed up, arrested them. Can't put anything over on her. She was a tough woman. And Paul, when you look at the scripture, he tells Timothy this. This is the connection. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. It gives us power. It gives us love. It gives us self-discipline. Boyle was not timid. And we're called to use the power of the Holy Spirit to advance this kingdom on earth. We're called to live out our sincere faith, which each of us has. Now, I do want to finish up Gert Boyle's story and let you know that when the police chief showed up, Terry Timus, he showed up to, you know, see if she was all right. He made the mistake of wearing a North Face jacket. She was the CEO of Columbia Sportswear. So he asked if she was all right, and she said, I was okay until that jacket walked in here. Strong women, they exist and they are vital to who we are. Last Sunday, 9 young people took a big step in their faith walk. A lot of you have taken the same step over in your lifetime. They were confirmed. A lot of you were in this room. And they became members of this faith community. Now, a lot of people in this room have guided other young people as confirmands. Were you a mentor? Anybody who was ever a mentor or a teacher? Raise your hand. Raise them high so everybody can see. These are strong, sincere faith people who led young people who became members of this faith community. And those young people made commitments. You heard them, and you've actually heard them every time we welcome someone into membership. What you may not recognize, and I want to bring up to you again today, is all of us make a commitment when they join the church. And we're there to show our sincere faith to them and to the world going forward. Because here's what we all agreed to. If you don't remember these, that's why I'm listing them out. We agreed to pray. And that doesn't just mean when they're being read up here. That means making prayer a part of your life, talking to God, reaching out, praying for others and with others, making prayer a consistent part of your life. We're called to understand and read the scripture. Reading's easier than understanding. And we're called to do that, to learn how that scripture applies to our lives today, not just thousands of years ago and how it applied then. We're called to be in worship, to raise our voices in song, to share in community, to praise God with joy and exuberance. We're called to give generously. And we have lots of opportunities to do that. One way you have today, if you haven't read the front of your bulletin, read that. It's an opportunity to give to help others and to give a small amount, $5, to make a difference in someone's life. We're called to give generously. And we're called to serve God and to serve others. Through our spiritual gifts that we've been given, all of us can serve. All of us can help. It may not be as a mentor. It may be someone who's stuffing bulletins or someone who is spending time talking to someone else and visiting. There's so many ways that we can serve God and others. And we're called to share our faith with others. They're going to see you living in a way that they don't understand. How do you get through all of the challenges you face? How do you show such love for others, such joy? And they're going to ask you, and you're going to get a chance to tell them why Christ makes a difference in their life. You get a chance to show your sincere faith, just as Timothy was taught by his mother and his grandmother. Proverbs 22:6 tells us this: start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Now, I posted this picture up on the screen of my wife and my daughter, Katie. You might notice the reason I posted this caption under it: tell me these two aren't related. That wasn't posed. That's the way they sat. Now, it isn't just sitting in the pews, though. If you were to talk to them, or they called you on the phone, you would know they were related once they told you which one was talking to you. You can hear it in their voices. You can see it when they move. You can see it in their actions. And the same is true. You can see it in their sincere faith. If you spend time with them, you talk to them, and you'll get a sense for their compassion, for their desire to help others. Now, this doesn't happen by accident. When we start children off on the way they should go, as Lois and Eunice did with Timothy, as my mom did for me, as you have done with your children and other children of this church, they have the beginning that can lead them to a sincere faith. So I have a challenge for you today and for this week on Mother's Day. I want you to look around this room. I want you to look around your life. Find those women, those moms who have played a part in your life, who radiate sincere faith, who helped you grow in the faith. And tell them what we hear in Proverbs 31, 28 through 29. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Tell them this: many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Don't limit it to just today. Give them breakfast and bread a little bit more often. Let them know the love that you have for them, the difference they made in your life and continue to make in our lives. Tell them you appreciate them. And with all they do, we have to admit that they are supermoms. Because God could not be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers. Jewish proverb. On this Mother's Day, see that sincere faith in others. Celebrate it. Let them know how much you love them. Happy Mother's Day. Please pray with me. Nurturing God, we give thanks for the mothers, the moms, the guides, the mentors, the teachers in our lives. We are grateful for the sincere faith they share with us as they guide us in the way of love. As we grow in our faith, we will share that love with others, spreading your word throughout the world. With joy we pray. Amen. All right, as we enter into a time of offering where we get the chance to give back a little bit of what God has given us, our ASP youth are here this morning, so they're going to be doing a loose change offering. And also, we're going to be having special music, so we have a challenge. How do we do a noisy offering quietly so that we can enjoy Claire's beautiful voice? If the ushers would please come forward.
Song in every silence, seeking.